Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Friday, a couple days before the big game, and it could be another, well, it seems to be almost like an ice bowl, doesn't it? Very cold. Sunday night they're playing. Sunday night, not even during the day when the sun is out. Everybody's, not everybody, but this state is just so attached to this team that I haven't ever seen anything like it. And we figured we couldn't ignore it. And so we are going to be talking about the Green Bay Packers and their long history in the state of Wisconsin. We're so happy to have as one of our guests this hour the author of the 25 Greatest Moments in Lambeau Field History. Dale Hoffman is joining us. Dale has covered all kinds of sports for a number of years here. The 1974 Green Bay Packers were his first pro beat with the Milwaukee Sentinel. For 35 years, he was a columnist and reporter for the Sentinel and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He has covered the Olympics, the NCAA Final Four, the World Series, the Super Bowl, and now the 25 greatest moments in Lambeau Field history. He will be joining us. We will also have with us, maybe you saw her picture in the paper, it really captured our fancy, this Franciscan Sister of Christian Charity, who resides at Holy Family Convent in Manitowoc, Sister Sean Marie Tobin, who was named honorary G-Force captain of the Packers. And she beat out 5,000 other essayists in this contest. So she's going to read her essay for us. She also will be there on Sunday in the same position. So she'll be in the middle of the field with a coin toss. And we welcome your phone calls. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. If you want to send an email, the email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. And let's talk about this franchise and the incredible success of this franchise. And if you want to talk about the game, another ice bowl, why fans are so devoted to the Green Bay Packers, we certainly welcome your phone calls. And I would imagine we'll get more than a few during the course of this hour. Dale Hoffman, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
Isn't it eerily like so many years ago, the ice bowl? Couldn't Sunday be almost as memorable as that game?
The conditions are going to be mighty similar to that.
They are, aren't they?
It's just nuts. I mean, they're talking about 4 degrees at kickoff, and it's only going to go one way from there. There's a lot like that. The difference, I guess, with the Ice Bowl was that the team that the Packers had out there was expected to be good. This team just came out of nowhere. No one saw 13-3, so I think the excitement's just incredible.
Yeah. You've put together this wonderful book about 50 years, the longest-serving stadium, you write, to a single franchise since the NFL came into being in 1920. Why, Dale? Why is that?
I mean, why is it still there?
Yeah, why is it the single franchise all these years?
Well, I think the reason the stadium's still there is because they went through this huge renovation with a bond issue out of Green Bay, and they could have knocked that stadium down, which is what NFL teams, which pro teams in every sport tend to do, and build a new one, but they decided that there was just so much history and tradition and color and everything wrapped up in Lambeau Field that they'd like to preserve it and update it, and that's what they did. Why the franchise is this successful, it just boggles my mind, and it always has. I mean, it has to do with the ownership structure. Mm. It just has to do with the game itself. I'm not from here. I got here in 1970 and had been hearing about the Packers. I grew up around Chicago, you know, forever. But you had to be here to see just how crazy people are.
Yeah. There is something significant that separates the Packers from other franchises in terms of the fan involvement, in terms of course, public ownership, which we should talk some about. But I've said this before, but it's almost like a religion in this state, Dale. It's not something you see anywhere else.
You know, I've always said that the biggest single story, sports story I can imagine in Wisconsin would be when the Packers went back to the Super Bowl, that 96 season when they'd gone something like 39 years without being there. And then, of course, went and won it. I had never seen the state anything like this. I mean, I knew everyone was Packer crazy, but everywhere you went, I mean, there were just everyone's lawn tractor was green. everybody had stuff in their windows and that kind of thing. And I can't imagine another story coming along and topping that as far as sports is concerned. I mean, short of the franchise leaving, what could happen that would top that after waiting all that time and to have them go and win that Super Bowl? This is kind of creeping up on it, but I don't think it's going to get there because, you know, it happened 10 years ago. In that case, it had been so long.
Hmm.
But I just don't know. I've never seen any fan base identify with a team the way the Packers does. And the Packers fan base is the whole state, plus Lord knows how many other places.
Right.
It's a remarkable phenomenon. I mean, the Yankee fans and Cub fans, I guess, are close, but there's just nothing quite like Green Bay Packer fans.
Yeah. And does any of that have to do with the public ownership of the team, Dale?
I think it does. I think that's a cool idea. I think I thought the Packers were really being optimistic a few years back when they went out and sold all that stock. You know, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with that. I imagine a lot of them are. You know, a few years back, they decided that they needed some more revenue for stadium upkeep and that kind of thing. So they just went out and sold stock at $200 a share, and you get nothing for it. I mean, you can't sell it. You can't vote it. All you can do is frame it.
And, right, I remember that now.
Well, yeah. And when the well, of course, the Packers had to get league approval to do that. And they went to the league, and at first the league wasn't crazy about the idea because they knew that nobody else could do that. And they were afraid that the Packers would use the money from that stock to sign players, to sign free agents, that kind of thing, because there'd be such a terrific competitive advantage just because the fans in Green Bay were the way they were.
Hmm.
I think the public ownership, sure, that has to contribute to it because everyone feels like they have a piece of this team. I mean, you hear teams going around all the time saying we have the greatest fans in the world. Well, some of them, you know, obviously don't. But these people really feel like they're in charge of that franchise.
Right. Let's talk about Brett Favre for a moment. Would you say that this last year he's had one of his best seasons, Dale?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. Mm. I mean, just statistically, his passer rating and all that kind of thing. I mean, everyone was waiting for the older, wiser Brett to come along. You know, everyone knew he had this incredible talent and touch and all that kind of thing. But it seems as if all his experience just kind of came together this season. And, of course, he needed players around him. I mean, the last couple of years he didn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got a really good team around him. And, you know, any quarterback is better with a better team. And he's just been able to maximize everything he has because of these folks. I mean, he's not as fast or as agile as he used to be, but his arm is just as strong. And from a football standpoint, he's a whole lot smarter.
So who's around him now that has made this team as competitive as they are? Who do they bring in? What kinds of deals were made?
Well, the important thing was they drafted wide receivers, which was essential, of course. They gambled and drafted a bunch of youngsters in an offensive line. You'll remember when Mike Sherman left, so did their two starting guards, both of whom had been all pros at one time. Ted Thompson, the general manager, kind of scrapped that and went with an all youthful line, and that came together much faster than he had any reason to expect.
Hmm.
But I think maybe the most important thing that's happened in the course of this season was the Packers sending a sixth-round draft choice to the Giants, of all people.
Ryan Grant, yeah.
For Ryan Grant.
Right.
And, you know, Favre was only going to go so far just throwing the ball all the time. This guy has just turned out to be the real deal. And so when you have a running game to go with his talents, it just makes you twice as good.
So who spotted him and said, this guy's got great talent? Because obviously they were taking a chance on somebody that nobody else had.
You know, I was up in Green Bay day before yesterday, and the one guy I couldn't get to who I wanted to ask that question of was Reggie McKenzie, who's the director of pro player personnel. And it's his job to see, you know, not who the college players are, but who the pro players are on other teams. And I suspect it started with him, but of course you have to give Thompson the credit for pulling the trigger on that. The interesting thing about that is the Giants, you know, obviously would prefer to have him anywhere but in Green Bay right now, but they were so deep in running backs that they really didn't miss him.
Let's welcome phone calls for Dale. We're talking about the Green Bay Packers this hour and the big game on Sunday and this whole team. Did you see, before we go to phone calls, just a quick question, a follow-up for you. Nobody really saw this coming this year. Did you see it coming this year? At what point did you say, whoa, this team is off to greatness?
I certainly didn't see it coming. I was telling everybody who would listen that they'd go about 7-9.
Oh, my.
Yeah, huh. And a lot of people thought I was being optimistic.
Huh.
I still didn't believe in them in the first couple of games. I mean, they should have lost a game to Philadelphia real early in the year, and if they had, it might have made a big difference. But Philadelphia forgot to bring anyone along who could field a punt, and they wound up messing up three different punts, which really gave the Packers a break. But I guess when I saw Grant get there about halfway through the year and then saw what he could do, I mean, you remember he wasn't in the lineup right away since he got there. But when they showed that they could mount a running game week after week, then you had to figure these guys were for real. And, of course, it helped that they're playing in the National Football Conference, which probably, I'd say the AFC might have three or four teams better than anybody in the NFC, with the exception of the Packers and Dallas. So, you know, they didn't have to win a lot of games against good teams.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Dale Hoffman is our guest, and his latest book is The 25 Greatest Moments in Lambeau Field History, which I imagine will fly off the shelves this weekend if it hasn't already done so. Dale, as you know, for a long time, 35 years, a columnist and reporter for the Milwaukee Sentinel and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There go the phones. I knew you wanted to talk about the Packers. Let's go to Mike from Langlade. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Hi.
I don't know that the Packers fans are all that rabid, but I'm way up here about 60 miles north of Green Bay, and several years ago I wangled a ticket to a Packer game. It was ended up being way up in the end zone, and I had a bum leg that day, and the beer and brat guys don't get up that far too often, so I limped all the way down.
Aww.
And a fella that was sitting in a nice, like almost a box seat on about the 60-yard line had an empty seat next to him. He says, "Hey, buddy, I watched you limp all the way down here. You know, when you get back, sit here for the rest of the game." So I got my brat and sat down there, and I said, "You know, this has got to be the only empty seat in the stadium. How come?" He says, "Well, my wife and I have had these season tickets for years and years and years, but she died."
Oh. Said,
"You mean you don't have any friends?"
I know this one. Yeah, it's good. Go ahead.
Relatives? He says, "Yeah, but they're all at the funeral."
Yeah.
You heard this one before.
I heard, actually, Mike, my husband, told it to me last night. I was trying to figure out a way to work it in, and I'm glad you did, Mike. Thanks very much for the call. You know, it is amazing, though. There won't be an empty seat at that place, and it's going to be below zero Sunday night. It'll be filled, won't it, Dale?
You know, that's always just astounded me.
If
this were a baseball game,
right?
I mean, it would have been canceled 2 weeks ago. If it gets under 35 degrees, gets under 40 degrees, people don't go to baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. There is no weather that would cancel a Packer game. I can't imagine anything short of maybe a tornado. People just don't seem to care.
Right. Yeah.
I guess they know how to dress for it and that kind of thing. But how do you dress for 20 degrees below zero wind chill?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Stash is next from London, Wisconsin. Hi.
Yep. Hi there. It's actually New London.
New London. Hi.
Up by Appleton.
Oh, yeah.
You were mentioning Packer fans from all over the country. Our daughter just recently moved to Portland, and we went out to visit her in early November, and I was all concerned about not being able to watch the Packer games, but one of my friends emailed me, I think, two or three Packer bars out there. So we picked out one of them, and it just was full of Packer fans, and it was a great time. And I hear that there's places like that all over the country, you know, people go. And so, actually, the Packers do have a countrywide fan base, I think.
It's bigger than that. My daughter did a semester a while back in Spain.
Oh, no.
She found a Packer bar.
Wow.
I mean, and she found it within the first couple of weeks, and it was always packed.
Huh. Thanks very much for your call. Let's pause for a moment, and we'll return. Our number is 800-486-8655. Dale, grab the line. There's only one open right now. Dale Hoffman is our guest, and we're talking about the Green Bay Packers. He is a longtime writer for the Sentinel and the Journal Sentinel, and he is author of the 25 Greatest Moments in Lambeau Field History, which has just very recently been released. And, you know, if you want to send, if you can't get through, you want to send a email, then you could just send us an email at talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dale Hoffman is our guest, and we go next to Kevin from Ashland. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if the author could kind of tell the story of the original Ice Bowl, you know, give a synopsis of it. I know there's a lot of interesting facts about how the metal whistles froze to the referee's lips.
Yeah, the bands couldn't play. It's in the book, certainly. It's one of the most, if not the most memorable moment in many people's minds, Dale.
Yeah, you know what I thought was, but incidentally, I need to mention Cliff Crystal's name. I mean, I wrote that book with Cliff Crystal, and so there were co-authors on that. And Cliff, you probably know, was
sure.
Well, he's almost as old as I am. He was around with the Press Gazette in Green Bay and with the Journal for a long time. Yeah, I remember. You know what I remember? What struck me the most about that Ice Bowl chapter was the continuing, and I mean continuing, disagreement between Jerry Kramer, who gets all the credit for throwing the block that got Bart Starr in, and Kenny Bowman, who was the center at that time. And Kramer has basically said that he was the guy who threw the block. Bowman has said that they double-teamed Jethro Pugh, the guy who they knocked out of the way. And we talked to both of them. And they're still very adamant about that. I mean, Bowman's a little miffed about the whole thing. Kramer, of course, kind of made a career out of that game with books and that kind of thing. In fact, I think I just saw him on ESPN. But, yeah, they couldn't agree on that. The other thing I thought that was interesting about it was when Starr went over, when Starr took the ball and sneaked into the end zone, there were only two people in the entire stadium who knew Starr was going to carry the ball. That play was designed to be a handoff. Starr hadn't sneaked all year long. In fact, it had been 2 or 3 years. But he and Lombardi cooked that up on the sidelines, told Lombardi that the running backs were slipping and that the safest way to get in was for him just to keep the ball. And Lombardi said, well, do whatever you have to do, but just get in the end zone because it's cold out here. And so that's what happened. I mean, they called that play, and all the players blocked as if Chuck Mercine was going to carry the ball. Mercine thought he was going to get the ball. And Starr went in.
And didn't I read in your book that there were kids who had to go to the hospital because they got frostbitten from playing their band instruments when they were doing a rehearsal in the morning?
Yeah, they tried, and I don't remember how many of them they lost, and then they, you know, they just put the band, they put the instruments away and forgot about halftime.
Oh, my. What does an athlete have to do, considering it's going to be so cold again on Sunday, Dale? How can you exert yourself physically in that way in temperatures that are that cold? What do you have to do?
I think you're fine when you're playing.
Really?
Yeah, and it's kind of a macho thing right now. I mean, the Packer receivers, for instance, are saying that they'll be out there in short sleeves.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
No.
And they'll tell you it's because the ball is more likely to slip off your arms if you have that if you have those sleeves. I think some of the linemen will be doing the same thing. It's just, you know, we're not afraid of these elements. We're going to overcome them. We're going to overcome you. Some of the Giants are talking about doing the same thing, although, what's his face, the pass rusher from the Giants, whose name escapes me right now, the really good one, said he'll wear every stick of clothing he'll put on. You know?
Yeah.
He said, I have to prove this to who? You know? But I think your problem is not playing. It's standing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're on the offense and the defense is on the field, they have these big heaters and that kind of thing, which you could get near, I suppose. But that may be a bad idea because then you have to get away from them. You're all kind of, you're stiff. But I think you get carried away when you're playing. I think the problem is when you're standing.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Thanks very much, Kevin, for your call. Somebody called and wanted to know about beer, that beer wasn't sold during the Ice Bowl because the taps froze. Is that true?
You know, I don't know. I did not hear that story, but that would certainly make sense.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Let's go next to Mark from Superior. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for the topic. I have a question about the Lambeau Leap, but I first want to make a brief comment about one of the reasons I think that adds to the Packers being such a state team is I love how now they have, at some of the playoff games, they have the fifth quarter, and they have the University of Wisconsin Badger band there, which is known throughout the country, and I think that really helps add to the fact that it's not just a metropolitan team, it's a state team. But I want to ask a question. A fairly recent tradition is the Lambeau Leap. Who's the first guy that can be attributed to who started that? Do you know?
It was Leroy Butler. And interestingly enough, when he did it, I mean, it was a situation where he created a fumble. Reggie White scooped up the ball and lateraled to him, and he ran all the way for the touchdown. And he had enough of a lead on everybody that he could think about it as he went in. And he was thinking, what am I going to do? This is really special. I've got to do something, you know. And so rather than doing an end zone dance or anything else, he just kept going. And he said he kind of almost made eye contact with some of the fans where he was going and let him know that he was coming so that, you know, he didn't hurt anybody. He said that was the only thing he was concerned about. Spilled somebody's beer. The guy with the beer subsequently contacted him and said, you owe me a beer. And everyone just loved it on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody noticed it in the press corps. There was not a single word about that leap in any of the newspapers that covered that thing the next day. Subsequently, Robert Brooks did it a few times, and you know, it had to happen two or three times for folks, I guess, or for us geniuses in the media to pick up on the fact that this was about to become a tradition in Green Bay.
Hmm. I'm glad you knew the answer so thoroughly. Thanks, Mark, very much for the call. Let's go to Dorothy from Waupaca. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead, Dorothy.
I'm on the air.
Yes, you are.
Well, I want people. I'm Dorothy Wolf Clayton. My father was the first physician to the Packers. He was invited to come from Nina to Green Bay to be that person. And we had only girls in our family. There were four girls. And my dad called us his little women. And I was nuts about my dad. And I went with him to every game that he would take me. Hmm. And the coach would yell, hey, Doc, we need you. And my dad would go running down the bleachers with his little black bag and take care of the person. And then when he'd come back, it would be very, very cold, and we sat under a great big buffalo blanket that my dad had brought with him out of Ohio. And
what year was this, Dorothy?
Pardon?
What year was this?
1920. No, 1920, yes.
19.
I was 7 years old. I was born in 1913, and I was 7 years old, and my dad moved from Nina. My dad had a practice in Nina and in Appleton, and Green Bay invited him to come.
Mm-hmm. Dale?
And it just goes to show you, I mean, that's a great story.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you how things have changed. I mean, just think about that. Her dad was sitting in the stands.
Right, would be called down.
Yeah, yeah. And would be called down. I mean, now there are ambulances and stretchers and carts and everything all over the place. There are orthopedic specialists and GPs and all of those people. But in those days, things were a lot more elementary.
Mm-hmm. They sure were. Dorothy, thanks so much for the call. And people have those memories of going with their dads or their moms or their cousins or whatever. Again, it's that very, very strong tradition and memories that just last forever and then last into another generation, Dale.
Yeah, and of course, the Packers waiting list for season tickets, of course, is legendary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those those tickets get passed down from father to son to grandson and, right. and on and on. Now, I'm not sure this is accurate once, but I heard a statistic once that, you know, there's a 65,000-person season ticket waiting list, and it's really slow going because nobody gives those up. And the average age I heard on that waiting list was 8. what happens is people just put their kids on there knowing they're never going to get moved up, and they hope, you know, and as soon as they're born, they put their names on the season ticket waiting list.
Oh, my. Reed from Clintonville. Hi, Reed.
Oh, good morning, and thanks for this opportunity. Say, just one of my fondest memories, I lost my brother this past year, and one of my fondest memories is going to the only Packer game that he and I ever went to, and that was the Ice Bowl. And it was just a terrific time because we had we were given the tickets, had a chance to trade our tickets when we got there for 50-yard line seats, and we said, no, we'll just sit in the end zone where our tickets are. And, you know, that was the end zone where Starr came over for that winning quarterback sneak. We saw all of the action that we needed to. And the fella sitting behind us was in an Army field jacket and street shoes. And I'm sure he had severe frostbite, but he was a little bit inebriated, so I suspect that didn't impact on him until he got home. but those are wonderful. That's a wonderful memory. And then I just wanted to mention, we once in a while watch British television, and there's a crazy comedy program on there. Keeping Up Appearances, and this this fellow that's on there is a great big sloth of a man, and one day he had a Green Bay Packer cap on that program. And every time we go back to Helena, Montana, there's a Packer bar there.
Oh, gee.
There you have it.
Yeah,
so,
there you have it.
I bet you Reed doesn't remember being the least bit cold that game.
You know, I wasn't cold because we were well insulated with long underwear, wool clothing, big parkas, sitting inside sleeping bags, but we did go into the men's room at halftime, and it was shoulder to shoulder, and nobody was using the urinals. We were just in there to get warm. Brother bought me two hot dogs with mustard. I hate mustard. I ate both of those hot dogs. You know, and I guess that's my story, and it was just, it's fun to share that with people.
Sure it is. Yeah.
Well, I think there's some fellow that, somebody told me that's at the stadium bar every Packer game or something in Green Bay, and he records stories of people who were at the Ice Bowl. So I'll leave you.
Yeah, and I'm sure Reed was there. I'm not saying that, but from what I figured out just talking to people about the Ice Bowl, the capacity of the stadium that year was somewhere in the 50,000s, and I believe 1.5 million Wisconsinites have been to the Ice Bowl.
I think you're probably right. I think Reed was there, though. His memory is a little bit too detailed.
Yep.
Yeah, quite a memory. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Dale Hoffman is our guest, author along with Cliff Crystal of the 25 Greatest Moments in Lambeau Field History. And we're talking about the history of the Packers. Let's talk for a moment. I think you've written a book about Harlan here, the president of the club, Bob Harlan. And I'm wondering how much of the success over the years of the Green Bay Packers could be attributed to this man's leadership, Dale.
They would have been in a lot of trouble without him. He understood the Packer fan base better than anybody in the world, saw to it that they never lost that sense of investment. You know, what you always heard about Bob Harlan was he answered his own phone, and he does. And he still does. You can call and ask him, and he'll pick it up. He just listened to people, understood what their concerns were, from day one knew that it didn't make any difference what he did from a public relations standpoint or fan facilities or any of that kind of thing if the team didn't win. And so the most important thing he did, of course, was hire Ron Wolf, who then got Mike Holmgren, and they got Brett Favre. And Harlan's main talent was for choosing good people and is for choosing good people and then getting out of their way. And that's what he did. He'll tell you that the most important thing he ever did, the hardest thing he ever did was moving the team out of Milwaukee for half the games. The most important thing he ever did was getting the stadium refurbished, getting that bond issue passed. I mean, he was standing at plant gates at 6 o'clock in the morning talking to people to get that bond issue done. And he's just totally convinced that the team would have lost the franchise if they hadn't done something with the stadium.
Christopher from Mount Zion, hi.
Hi, thanks, Kathleen. Dale, pleasure to have you on. Normally I call about politics, but my girlfriend hates pro sports, but I love the Packers and have for over 40 years since I watched them with my uncles and my dad. I just enjoy it so well. I went to the Carolina game this year. That Tremont Williams run back was fantastic. One of the things, and maybe you could recall this better than I, was the catch by, I believe it was Antonio Freeman against the Vikings. That was spectacular. I did have another thing I wanted to say is, yeah, there are Packer bars all over the country. And last question is, could you sum up the successes that Mike McCarthy is having as a young coaching staff, his coaching staff, and with this young team? I'd like to hear more about that from you, Dale. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, well Freeman, of course, that just blew everyone away. It blew away the broadcasters. It was almost as if Antonio was the only guy who remembered the NFL rules. I mean, the ball went off of Minnesota Vikings defensive back, and of course it had to be the Vikings. The only thing better would have been the Bears. went off the D-back, bounced basically into off of Leroy's helmet and into his lap when he's on the ground, and he just got up and ran for a touchdown in a huge game for the Packers, because the rule said somebody had to touch him while he was down or he was free to get up and go, and no one did that. The defensive back who actually had really good coverage on the play and was astounded when Butler caught it never reached down and touched him, so he was just gone. That was one of our moments. I can't remember which one chronologically, but it was definitely included. And Leroy, at the time, was having some problems PR-wise because he just signed a huge contract, was not having a big year. The Packers had kind of changed their attack, and he wasn't getting the ball as much, and people were muttering that he wasn't, you know, worth the money and that kind of thing. And he wound up getting carried off the field, and it was a huge moment for him. And he's kind of a nice guy, anyhow. As for McCarthy, I just think that's all about the fit. I mean, there are people who can get together with a young team and just they feel that they empathize with him and him with them, and he's just able to relate to young players. And of course, the Packers, as everyone knows, are the youngest team in the league. You know, not unlike Ned Yost and the Brewers, same kind of thing. When you're building, there are certainly coaches and managers who are just right for that kind of thing and can take a team a long way. Now, in a lot of cases, they can only take them so far, and then it takes somebody else to maybe come along and put them over the top. McCarthy, of course, is heavily favored to take them to the Super Bowl, and you can't do much better than that. He was
no, you can't.
He could win it, which would really do it. But if I had a vote, I would have voted him for Coach of the Year. I understand why he didn't get it, because New England has this perfect season, and if you have a perfect season and it never happens, then I guess the coach has to be having a pretty good year. But I think in McCarthy's case, when you look at the Pro Bowl voting, and you find only four Packers going to the Pro Bowl, you have to think, well, if he doesn't have that Pro Bowl caliber talent, they must be awfully well coached.
Huh, yeah, right. What else could you think, of course? Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. Dale Hoffman is our guest. We're talking about the Green Bay Packers. Dale, for many years, 35 years, a sports columnist and reporter for the Milwaukee Sentinel and later for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He and Cliff Crystal are the author of the 25 Greatest Moments in Lambeau Field History. And we're talking about the team, the young team, the talent, the unlikely run this year, perhaps a trip to the Super Bowl again, and giving you a chance to talk about a team you're obviously very fond of. 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. Jessica from Madison writes, Packer bars in Germany, Greece, Ireland, Florida, Arizona, Massachusetts, many other places, never too far from fans of the green and gold. The Packer fan base knows no country. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dale Hoffman is our guest. We have a full bank of phone lines, and we'll take more of your calls in a moment. We had hoped to have the Good Sister live with us this morning, but she evidently has to lead prayers, so she could not be here. But this is just a good story we saw in the paper. Rhonda Fanning had a chance to speak with Sister Sean Marie Tobin yesterday. Tell us her story, Rhonda.
Sister Sean Marie Tobin, who's a Franciscan sister of Christian Charity, she resides at the Holy Family Convent in Manitowoc. Is that how you say that?
Manitowoc, sorry.
She entered an essay contest on the Packers website, and she beat out 5,000 other contests. And so I wanted to get her to read her essay for us, so I got her on the phone yesterday. She was gracious enough to sit down with me for a few minutes and talk and read her essay. So this
And she was at the Ice Bowl, right, with her dad?
She was. She talks about that in her essay.
All right. So here she is.
Loyalty, enthusiasm, positive thinking, and prayer for the safety of the players are my qualifications for being an honorary captain. These attributes have been steadfast through good seasons and disappointing ones. I have known well the previous teams and have respected each individual player since 1945. My dad taught me at an early age all the fine points of the game and expected me to know numbers, plays, rules, and strategies. Now, for a girl, this was a novelty at the time. My last game with him was at the Ice Bowl, and by then I was already a Manitowoc Franciscan sister of Christian Charity who did most of her play calling from a chair near the radio or TV. This game was a challenge. I was stuffed, long habit, and full garb into a sleeping bag up to my nose and almost bunny-hopped over the bleachers on the last play. Lucky for me, the people in front of me had left a minute before the end, so I had a spectacular view from the 50-yard line. If the game had lasted any longer, my fingers would have been permanently stuck to my rosary beads. This year's team has had some of the enthusiasm and drive of the glory days. It has brought back many memories, and I would be proud to be on the field with them to show my support of their dedication to the game and improvement as players. Each team in our history has included much character building, dedication, and unselfishness by the players and the wisdom and the drive of the coaches. There always has been a diversity of personalities, but a common goal. Love the game, give your all, and respect the fans who support the team. I would bring this same philosophy to being an honorary captain.
Sister Sean Marie Tobin, a Franciscan sister of Christian Charity residing at Holy Family Convent in Manitowoc, named honorary G-Force captain of the Packers, and once again she'll be midfield for the coin toss for Sunday's game as well. And we're sorry she couldn't join us in person, but she was leading prayer service this morning. So first things first, right?
What could be more appropriate than a nun winning that award
when
the Packers are such a religion around the state? I'm not sure who picked that essay, but I see Harlan's fine hand in that.
Do you really, Dale?
Yeah, he has a favorite story, too. He was standing in line one time at church waiting to take communion, and this woman behind him taps him on the shoulder and hands him a pen and a piece of paper to ask if he wouldn't mind signing her autograph before he got up there.
And did he?
Yeah, of course.
Of course he did. That's a great story. Elaine from Colfax, hi.
Hello. I think the Packers are really easy to root for because the players are really classy. I don't know if the organization really scouts and figures out who would fit in this organization or if just the environment that's like a college atmosphere makes people play with such, you know, sportsmanship. Favre, you know, he's the leader, obviously. He plays with joy. He is so genuine, and he loves the game. I mean, that's what it's about for him. But there's other players like Donald Driver. He grew up homeless part of his life when he was in Texas, Houston, Texas, as a child. And I think that experience has made him just a tremendously generous individual towards other players. Like, I heard a story that Ryan Grant, when he was traded to the, from the Giants to the Packers, he was kind of shell-shocked from the trade. He didn't know what to expect. He was, you know, a kid. He didn't have a car. He was sitting there kind of lost, and Donald just asked him if he needed a ride. And, I mean, he's like the star player other than Favre is Donald. And here he is reaching out to this kid. He had no idea it would end up being a, just a tremendous asset to the team. And I think that's kind of a reflection of something unique in NFL sports is these guys are guys. They're a team. They treat each other with respect, and they treat the fans with respect. And, I mean, someone like Bubba Franks, he said, if you've been in Green Bay for a couple of years, you start doing charity work. It's just the place grows on you. And a player like Charles Woodson, a very proud, interesting player from Oakland, he came with sort of, you know, this grim, fierce personality, difficult to maybe interview, you know. I mean, he's, like, smiling. He's having a good time. He's like a kid, you know. I think the place has grown on him. He was in the paper that he was worried about coming to Green Bay as a black man, and he found it to be totally opposite of what he thought it would be.
Deal.
The Packers are very, very aware of character issues. Harlan, in particular, Harlan makes the point that the community is too small to hide anyone in, and so yeah, you need to get involved in the community, and you need not to be seen in a negative light because everyone knows who you are. And the Packers had a problem with this kind of thing.
Sure.
There was a period there in the 80s under. Forrest Gregg, the name Mossy Cade is infamous for that kind of thing, where just time after time, Packers were getting involved with the law, Packers were involved in bad situations on the field, that kind of thing, late hits and being charged with dirty play and that type of thing. And Harlan just couldn't tolerate that. I mean, you had to have people with good character to be in this community. When the Packers signed Coren Robinson, there was kind of a furor. Coren Robinson had problems with the law when he was in Seattle and in Minnesota, had some DWI problems and that kind of thing. And people were saying, wait a minute, you know, are you guys going back to the Mossy Cade days? But the coaching staff happened to know him pretty well. Brett Favre came out very strongly in Robinson's favor, and he has turned out to be a great fit. But this isn't an accident. I mean, the first thing you have to make sure is that these people can play. I mean, you don't want a team full of angels because you're going to just get hammered, you know. But you need people with an awareness that they are part of the community and that they don't want to do anything to denigrate the team.
Yeah, thanks, Elaine, so much for the call. Mike is next from Minnesota. Hi, Mike.
How are you doing this morning?
Fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks. And as a matter of fact, I'm even doing better than excellent because I'm going to the game on Sunday.
Oh, lucky you.
You got it. And just one comment that was made earlier about the only thing stopping people from going would be a tornado.
Uh-huh.
I'd still go. I'll just take some cinder blocks and you know, duct tape them to my legs. I'm going. And that was actually why I wanted to call is I know my wife is listening also, Becky. And I just wanted to say thanks to her for letting me go. My brother and I have been excited and looking forward to this ever since the Packers started getting closer to making a playoff run, and it seemed like a possibility. And I thought it was pretty cool that not only did she say, yeah, go ahead and buy the tickets, but for a while I was thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't. They're a little expensive. And she talked me into it. So just wanted to call and tell her thanks.
Now you take her advice and dress warmly. Bundle
you got
up.
It. Already hit the store last night. I'll be wearing about 7 pairs of long underwear and quite a few other clothes.
7 pairs of long underwear. It's interesting to think about that. Thanks, Mike, very much for the call.
You notice Becky's not going.
No, Becky's not going. Becky may be the smart one here.
There's some hope for that family. There's one sane member in it.
Yeah, exactly. You could watch it on television and have your snacks and all of that. That's what we'll do. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike next. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike. From Chile, Wisconsin?
Yeah, hi, Mike.
I had a question for the guest. I was at the game where Don Majkowski was across the line, possibly, when he threw the ball.
Uh-huh.
Is that in your book for greatest moments?
It is indeed. And again, I can't tell you exactly what moment it is, but yeah. they actually sat and talked about that. They, remember that replay, that instant replay, went almost 5 minutes while they discussed that and looked at it from every angle. And Mikowski remembers the Bear linebacker, the middle linebacker came and said, "You know, kid, you did a great job today, and we were impressed by you. Too bad you're going to lose."
Hmm.
And Mikowski said, "Well, don't be so sure about that." And then 4 minutes later, of course, that thing was ruled being okay.
And thanks very much for your call. Let's go next to Gail is next from Pittsville. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I just wanted to say I am going to the game.
You are?
Yes, I am. the first game I ever went to was for my honeymoon 22 years ago. And we've been going consistently as many games as we can. This is my first playoff game. My husband went to the other ones, and that was pretty darn cold. I'm just excited. It's like Christmas at our house right now. We can't sleep at night. We're waiting for the game.
Oh, my gosh, Gail.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, yes, I will be layered with Iceman boots on and snow pants and long johns, and I'll have my bikini under there just in case.
Yeah, right. So you don't worry. I got to tell you that to me, being out in the cold that long, I just couldn't do it. But you can't even sleep. You're so excited about it.
Right now I'm a mail carrier. I'm running around with my window wide open. And
all right. Well, that says something.
I'm just a Wisconsinite.
You're prepared for it. You're in shape for the whole event.
I'm traumatizing right now. Traumatizing.
Have fun,
Gail. Gotta love them.
Yeah, have fun, Gail.
Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Bye.
I gather Gail was a football fan before she got married.
Yeah, I would assume she was.
If you agree to go to your honeymoon to Lambeau Field, you start out with that, I think.
Yeah. Zach is next from Fresco, Iowa. Hi, Zach.
Hey, I was just going to share one of my memories from Lambeau Field.
Hi, Zach. Yeah, turn that radio down, Zach. Because we're hearing you a couple seconds ago. It's driving us crazy.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
I had went to a Packer and Carolina Panther game
a
while back, and I just wanted to share a memory of how the fans really understand, you know, the other people next to you, their passion for the Packers, because Teron Williams had ran that touchdown back, and I was jumping all over, and I ended up spilling my beer from my dad's hand all over the fans in front of us.
Uh-oh.
So they didn't even care because they really understood.
Hello? All right, we have to end on that. They didn't even care.
I think it probably happened before. I think people expect to get beer spilled on them when they go to Lambeau Field.
Yeah. Teresa is next from Melrose. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I just wanted to say another memory, and this would be that 45 years ago, I was involved in the Little Melrose School, which the town is 500 people, and the band was 55, and we were invited to perform the halftime show.
Ooh.
The first year we went to Bloomington and did the Viking Packer game, and then the next year we actually did it twice because we went to Green Bay and performed there. And it's probably it's a highlight of your life to have actually marched on the field. And I guess my comment is that I was kind of, from time to time, those of us who did it, and this is a small community, so it's pretty much what we have, and we were kind of just thinking, like, it's kind of sad that we don't see any of the halftime performances, or we don't even know if there are some anymore, I guess. So that was my comment.
Mm-hmm. Deal.
Yeah, you know, you had a previous caller way early talking about how the fifth quarter is happening now at Lambeau Field, where the UW band goes on the field. And I just think that's wonderful because it's such a blending of traditions. I mean, that fifth quarter, UW football has its own fanatical following. And to put those two together, I just think is just fantastic.
And thanks so much for the call. Well, you knew what year to write a book, didn't you, Dale?
Boy, I wish I'd known. Well, you know, that was a gimme because the Field was 50 years old this year.
Mm-hmm.
But why this happened, I don't know.
Yeah, it's quite something. So will you watch from the comfort of your own home, or are you going to be
I will field? Indeed. As a matter of fact, I'll be watching from the comfort of my daughter's home in, of all places, Minneapolis.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we just had a grandson born about a month ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. So we're going up there and seeing him and his little brother and his big brother. So, yeah, but if I had the opportunity to be out there with those fans in the stadium in minus 20 degree wind chill, would I do that? Under no circumstances.
Instead, you're going to bring a little outfit for the baby, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Dale.
Hey, it was fun, Kathleen.
It was fun. Thank you. Dale Hoffman, along with Cliff Crystal, is the author of The 25 Greatest Moments in Lambeau Field History. And we thank him for being with us. Dale, of course, a longtime reporter and columnist for the Milwaukee Sentinel and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, has covered, actually, his first assignment, his first pro beat was with the 74 Green Bay Packers. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour and for talking with Sister Sean Marie Tobin as well. And thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. So, that's it. Have a good weekend. We'll be with you again on Monday at 9 o'clock for All Things Political. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.